This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, President Obama appears to fiddle while more terrorist attacks explode on American soil. New York and New Jersey were targets of bombs. In Minnesota, a knife-wielding Muslim stabbed 9 people before he was shot and killed by an off-duty police officer. Minnesota has become one of ISIS's most fertile recruiting grounds in the U.S. Former Minnesota Congresswoman and Republican presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann will join me later here on Washington Watch. And the Charlotte City Council could end the controversy over North Carolina's HB 2 if they were to repeal the city's bathroom and gender policy. However, just moments ago, the mayor of Charlotte, Mayor Roberts, rejected the offer. North Carolina's Governor Pat McCrory joins me in just a moment to discuss a proposal that could return status quo and sanity to North Carolina. That's coming up here on Washington Watch. And a little bit later, we'll be taking your phone calls on this Monday afternoon. The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you would like to find out more about today's guest, or if you happen to miss something on your way home, you can always check it out later at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right. North Carolina's political leaders put an offer on the table over the weekend that if Charlotte would rescind their bathroom and gender bill, the state would have no need for HB 2 and would repeal it. Well, Charlotte earlier today, the mayor, Mayor Roberts, rejected the offer. So what is really behind Charlotte's ordinance? And is there a way forward? Joining me now is the governor of North Carolina, Governor Pat McCrory. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's an interesting day here where, first of all, my prayers are with everyone who's impacted by this terrorist attack on our country. And it was kind of even yesterday, I was at the Carolina Panthers San Francisco 49er game, sitting right next to a cousin who's a Navy SEAL. And I had to sit and watch the quarterback of San Francisco kneel during the national anthem while standing next to a Navy SEAL. And it was a tough day yesterday to see that. Although he has the freedom to do it, it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And now in North Carolina, I have people trying to change the definition of gender.
It is interesting times in which we live, and certainly a time in which leadership is needed. And let me just say at the outset, I applaud the leadership that you have provided there in North Carolina. But what you put on the table over the weekend, or what the leadership there in North Carolina put on the table, was, as I understand it, an offer to the City Council of Charlotte and those who have been misconstruing HB 2, simply saying, look, we'll go back to what was status quo prior to the City of Charlotte imposing this bathroom ordinance on private entities, and, you know, we'll repeal HB 2 if you do away with the ordinance. Is that, in essence, what you offered over the weekend?
Absolutely, and it's more than a bathroom ordinance. It's really redefining gender for our city of Charlotte, where I was mayor of 14 years, for the state of North Carolina, and for the entire nation. And that's really what this whole debate is about, Tony, is what is the definition of gender? Is it a gender based upon your biology or your anatomy, or is gender now going to be based upon what President Obama wants, and that's your how you think you are, or how you like to express yourself. And that's really the debate, and the national media doesn't seem to get it. But it is, that impacts in our bathrooms, locker rooms, showers, and our schools, and our locker rooms, and our universities, and our businesses.
Right.
And everyone is focusing, a very, very powerful group, Tony, that you know about, called the HRC. The Human Rights Council is, I've said they're more powerful than the NRA. And they're showing their power because they just stopped the city of Charlotte from making a very reasonable compromise solution. And they are that powerful, and they put a lot of pressure on corporations and the NCAA and the ACC and the NBA to capitulate to their definition of gender in the United States of America. And now the Obama administration has done the same thing. And, it's a sad commentary that North Carolina is the target of the HRC group and gives the impression that this is just a North Carolina battle when it's a United States battle.
Well, I would make one distinction between the NRA and the Human Rights Campaign is that the NRA is a straight shooter. So I just have to.
You're absolutely right. But when the national, and by the way, I'm proud to have the endorsement of the NRA in my reelection. Very, very proud of it. But when I say they're more powerful, they use these Machiavellian concepts of putting pressure on corporate America to bow down to their definitions of basic human norms that we've been using for decades and centuries. And this pressure is on major companies, and major companies like Nike and Microsoft and Apple are contributors to this organization. And then also put the pressure on cities and counties to meet these standards. And PayPal and Salesforce and other companies, of some very, very wealthy billionaires, are donating to this HRC group.
Governor McCrory, one thing I would have to point out that I think is most onerous about what the city of Charlotte has done and what is completely misreported or not reported at all by the media is the fact that this was imposed upon private entities. It wasn't just that the city wanted to do it on their property. They wanted to force private entities to abide by and adhere to their twisted view of gender.
Yeah, in fact, the national media has portrayed this as a conservative bathroom bill when it was, in fact, the left-wing liberals who wrote the bathroom bill in the city of Charlotte. It was a mandate for all private sector businesses, if they have public restrooms or locker rooms or showers, that they would have to entertain the concept of gender identity or gender expression for people to come into those establishments or those restrooms. And if they didn't abide by that City of Charlotte regulation, the businesses would be fined. And the liberal media never talks about this. They keep talking about North Carolina's bathroom bill. It wasn't. The North Carolina government overturned the City of Charlotte's bathroom bill. The only thing we did was say, however, in our schools, in our universities, in our rest stops, in our parks, we're going to recognize gender as the way we've defined it, and that's based upon your identity.
But private entities,
on your anatomy.
Private entities could do whatever they wanted under HB2.
Absolutely.
Right?
In North Carolina, according to the law HB2, which is the new term that the liberals use, it's the name. It's not even the name of the bill, but it's been seen as a discriminatory bill. The bill actually says private sector, you can have unisex, you can have joint, you can do anything you want. That's not my business. But in my schools, in our universities, and I'm talking about elementary schools too,
right,
in our universities, I put out an order that we would not do that. We would, if someone has a unique circumstance with their gender, we would make reasonable accommodations, as opposed to everyone else having to make accommodations for the very small percentage of people that has this problem.
Well, and you are elected. You are elected, as well as the legislature in North Carolina, to oversee those public facilities. So that is your responsibility to do.
Absolutely. Just like it's if you run a major bank, it's your responsibility to determine what your policy should be. And that's exactly what I'm telling. But you wouldn't know that from the national media, based upon what we're doing. And now I've got the NCAA getting involved in this and actually boycotting the state of North Carolina, except for tournaments being played on our college campuses. And they've literally said, if you play on a college campus, it's safe. But if you play five blocks away in a city arena, it's unsafe. It's Tony, it's very Orwellian. It's almost the book 1984, where the thought police are determining what the rules of the game are, including sports and entertainment industry, of very multi-billion dollar nonprofit tax-exempt organizations.
Well, it is Orwellian, because they redefine terms, as we're seeing very clearly with the issue of gender. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina. All right, Governor, so this reasonable proposal put on the table where things go back to status quo, HB2 would not be an issue if the ordinance there in Charlotte was rescinded. The mayor there says no, won't do it. What does that tell you?
I think it tells me that this is now a national issue, and national pressure coming on North Carolina. North Carolina is the punching bag for sadly a lot of corporations and the corporate elite and the sports and entertainment elite, the liberal elite, and I'm calling them out. And as you know, I appreciate your help, but I feel kind of by myself because everyone's intimidated by this Orwellian purging of anyone who disagrees with these people, believe in discrimination. And I'm the least discriminatory person, as most people are, and I don't believe in discrimination.
Right.
But I do believe in common sense gender definitions for our country as we've been using. And what this is going to do, Tony, and I've got to run into a meeting real quick, but what this is going to do is it's all going to go to the Supreme Court, and that's what makes this presidential election so important. And my gubernatorial election is very important because if they defeat me, no one's going to have the courage again to question the motives or the goals of these groups pushing this very, very extreme agenda against the current day norms.
One final question. I know you got to go, Governor, but this doesn't stop with North Carolina, does it? This has the potential to spread all across this country.
I cannot stress more, this is not a North Carolina issue. This is a national issue, and 21 other states have joined in a lawsuit against the Obama administration, Justice Department, who have put out an edict for all private sector corporations with over 15 individuals. They have to recognize gender identity regarding restroom and locker room and changing facilities. And also all our universities, Title IX. We'll have to recognize that if they have Title IX funding. The federal government has that on hold right now, and that's why this will be going to the Supreme Court most likely in the next 4 or 5 months, and that's why these upcoming elections are extremely important.
They certainly are. Governor Pat McCrory, thanks so much for stopping by to talk with us today.
Tony, thank you very much. God bless.
All right, Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina. This is a big deal. As I said, over the weekend, they put on the table a proposal that if HB 2 was so bad that they would offer to repeal it if the city of Charlotte rescinded their ordinance, which started this whole thing. All they had to do was go back to status quo, and that is that private entities are not forced to adopt this bathroom policy and redefinition of gender that the liberals there in Charlotte that control the council wanted to do. They rescind that, HB 2 is repealed. They would call a special session to do it. And then, as I said, just moments ago, the mayor of Charlotte, Mayor Roberts, said, no, we won't do it. She's apparently a puppet on the strings of HRC and other radical liberal groups. So as the governor was pointing out, this is not just a North Carolina issue. It just happens to be where this battle is unfolding. This is coming to a city near you, especially if they prevail there in North Carolina. So I would encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I've got a link to Governor McCrory there on my website. And I would encourage you to stand with him, to help him, to encourage him in standing up for what is common sense, public safety, and decency. But as he pointed out, he kind of feels like he's standing alone because most politicians, quite frankly, on this issue, run for the tall grass. But he's standing firm, so stand with him. All right, folks, when we come back, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann joins me to talk about this latest round of terror attacks here on American soil. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
After 8 years of sustained attack on our most cherished values by the Obama administration, the 2016 presidential election will prove to be a critical juncture for our nation. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with the Values Voter Presidential Voter Guide. Determining the right presidential candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin of political rhetoric. Our voter guide includes each candidate's answer to important questions affecting faith, family, and freedom. It compiles the candidate's stated positions on a range of issues, including Planned Parenthood funding, the repeal of Obamacare, the future of natural marriage, the protection of religious liberty, and more. Go to frcaction.org/2016 to view the Values Voter Guide. You can also watch videos of the candidates explain how they would protect our religious freedom as president. Again, that's frcaction.org/2016.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The attacks over the weekend have once again brought the question surrounding American security to the forefront. Two separate attacks have been carried out, one by knife at a mall in Minnesota, the other a set of explosions in both New York and New Jersey. I mean, it's been all over the media in the last 48 hours. Authorities are still seeking out the motive behind the attacks. Not really hard to find out what they are. I think I have a pretty good idea what it could be when someone yells Allah Akbar and asks if you're a Muslim and then stabs you. Pretty clear. CNN has reported that that ISIS has claimed responsibility for the mall attack. The bomber, Ahmad Khan Rahami, was captured by authorities earlier today. And as we've come to expect, the tone from the White House is weak at best. Joining me now with the latest on these attacks, former presidential candidate and congresswoman from the state of Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be with you today.
Well, Michelle, this is something you've been talking about for a long time because Minnesota has become one of the largest community for Somalis that have come over. And those that have come to this country, 99% of them are Muslim. It has become a prime recruiting spot for ISIS. Are you surprised at all by this?
I think we're always surprised whenever there's a bombing or a stabbing or something that it defies the human condition. It's a horrible thing to see, but unfortunately, this is something that I've talked about quite a bit because there is a way of thinking that is fairly mainstream in the Islamic community. It's called Islamic supremacism, and there a certain segment of the Islamic community believes that Islam should be the dominant religion in the United States, and they believe, Tony, that our Constitution should be replaced with Islamic Sharia law. And unfortunately, the people, the fellow in New York and New Jersey, and also the fellow in Minnesota, share the same type of thinking. Every single one of these terrorist attacks has held the same motive, and it is to advance Islamic Sharia law here in the United States.
Now, Michelle, we cannot separate this national security threat from those that hold this viewpoint that you just described and our immigration policy, because since 9/11, almost 100,000 Somali refugees have been resettled here in the United States. And I mean, and again, the area that's received the most have been there in Minnesota. And as I mentioned, 99% of those who have come to this country are Muslim, Sunni Muslim. Are these two issues, in terms of national security and our immigration policy, linked?
Absolutely. There's no question. It's the oddest thing in the world. After America was mercilessly attacked from 9/11, we've allowed 2 million Muslims to come into the United States. We've had 15 terrorist attacks in the United States connected to the Islamic State just in the last 2 years. We know that there are cells for the Islamic State here present in the United States. The FBI director has told us, Tony, that there are open, active investigations in all 50 states. In fact, Minnesota has the highest number of foiled attempts at terrorism here in my state. We also are the state in Minnesota that has the highest number of people who have gone on to fight with the Islamic State. We have a tremendous number of cases that have been terrorist financing. So it is here. And I think that's where Donald Trump's call for extreme vetting, that we need to press the pause button on allowing more Muslims into the United States, and we need to put in place extreme vetting before we do that. That opinion, I think, is resonating with people all across the United States, because in light of these death or in light of these terror attacks over the weekend, this makes eminent sense, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, who is saying that she wants to increase the number of these. We know it's impossible to vet these people, especially as they come from Syria. She wants to increase that amount by 550% at a cost of about $400 billion. We're broke, Tony. Our country's broke. We don't have the money to do that. And I know Rush Limbaugh said on his radio show that every refugee that we let into the United States costs us $67,000 a year.
Right. Yeah, and most people don't realize that this is a fast track to citizenship as well. When they come in, they get a green card, they get government subsistence, and then they're in line to become citizens. And as we see, we have people coming into this country that are hostile to the values of this country. Michelle, I want to ask you that question because you brought this up about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. How big of an issue do you think this will be when people go into the voting booth in 49 days?
I'll tell you, if the vote was today, it would have a very high level of importance, because people just watched and observed what happened over the weekend. I think this is only going to heighten, because the Islamic State has said repeatedly through their social media that they intend to have more of these attacks, greater frequency of these attacks. And remember, as you and I are talking today, more and more people are being processed to come into the United States. Here in Minnesota, Tony, we have the highest number ever coming into Minnesota this year. And in fact, our governor told people in St. Cloud, Minnesota, not long ago, when residents of St. Cloud were worried and upset about all of this Somali immigration in their midst, the governor of Minnesota said to the local people, if you don't like it, you can leave. It was an unbelievable statement from our governor. Well, the people can't leave. And here were innocent people in the mall on Saturday night, and a Somali who won life's lottery by being able to come to the United States for 15 years. He's had a taxpayer-paid education. He now was just starting his junior year at St. Cloud State University. He had a job as a security job, as a security guard on the weekends, and he decided that it was more important for him to try to advance Sharia law in this country by advocating terrorism. And that, I think, will play into people's minds when they go into the voting booth. How could it not?
I certainly hope that it does. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Tony. All the best.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. So don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
The markets were all slightly positive last week, and we saw the U.S. dollar rally, gold rallied, crude oil prices were a little bit lower, and it looks like crude oil prices may be rallying a bit as we head into the week. Consumer price inflation was a little bit hotter than expected, but consumer sentiment last week lower. It did not meet expectations of 90.6. It came in at 89.8. We have seen pretty much a steady decline on consumer sentiment. Don't know how we can have some of the market rally that some are expecting when we see consumer sentiment down where it is, but we'll have to wait and see. We have some economic data coming out this week that may look important. Anyway, housing starts and housing building permits, that is coming out later in the week. We also have, of course, the Federal Reserve decision on interest rates. Yes, there are still some in the camp that the Federal Reserve interest rates could go up. Some are thinking that it is likely to go up. But I think the real news on Wednesday is not going to be what the Federal Reserve does. Believe it or not, the real news from a market standpoint, not an economy standpoint, but from the markets is probably going to be what Japan does. The Bank of Japan. And it looks like in the Eurozone and in Asia, they are running out of bonds to buy to continue their quantitative easing programs. I guess one of the questions is, will they push interest rates further in negative territory in an effort to devaluate currency and spur their economy? We'll have to wait and see.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. A lot happening today, covering, catching up with things over the weekend. I also want to alert you to the values bus, which is making its way across the country. It will be tomorrow, Tuesday, September the 20th, in Springdale, Arkansas, Ecclesia College. You can find out more at the Values Bus website. On Wednesday, Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. So all of our listeners there on KARF and KBQC, be sure and head out to join the Values Bus there. Wednesday, Oklahoma Wesleyan, Ecclesia College in Springdale, Arkansas tomorrow. So all our listeners there on KAYH 89.3 FM. You can visit with the folks on the Values Bus. Tell them I said hello. All right. There's so much to talk about. But we're going to be talking about that report from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, its attack on religious freedom. And I don't want to talk about a report tomorrow that just came out of Georgetown University that talks about the economic value of religion. So not only do we see this administration and progressives in their attack on religion, it has this secondary effect, not only of, you know, the emotional, cultural value of religion, but there's an economic value that they have in their crosshairs. Don't know it, but it is. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Target is in free fall. I wanted to get into this with the governor because this is why I believe that these NCAA, NBA, and all these other entities, businesses, they don't want to adopt this twisted policy like Charlotte has, like Target adopted, where it's a sexual free-for-all in the changing rooms and the bathrooms. I mean, they had another incident in Target where a man was videotaping a woman who was in one of the changing rooms. So what they want is they want the government to force them to do it. That way they can say, well, you know, we had to do it. They don't want the economic fallout because Target, they are reeling from this. Their shares are down 19%. I mean, they are in serious trouble. And they're trying to encourage their employees not to jump ship. Oh, that's going to be a hard one. But it's all because of this crazy policy. So nobody that has decent business sense would do it, but they could get the government to do it. So then they can say, well, it wasn't us. It was the government forced us to do it. So that's why you see these groups like Human Rights Campaign that extort money out of these businesses and force businesses to do their bidding by leaning on government officials to get the policies that are counter to common sense and are bad for business. Again, they can kind of take the Pontius Pilate approach. They can wash their hands of it. All right, I want to, before we run out of time here, we're going to be talking about this in the next break, but I want to play a clip today from this morning, Hillary Clinton talking about these terrorist attacks. I'm going to play this. This is what she said. I couldn't believe it that she said this, and so I wanted you to hear it because I want to talk about it. Listen.
We also know from the former head of our counterterrorism center, Matt Olson, that the kinds of rhetoric and language that Mr. Trump has used is giving aid and comfort to our adversaries.
Aid and comfort to our adversaries? Maybe keeping them awake at night for fear that we're actually going to elect a real leader who will kill them? How is that giving aid and comfort to our adversaries? This goes back to what we were talking earlier about with Governor McCrory. And that is, words to these people have no meaning. They make them up as they go. This administration for 8 years has coddled terrorists. They've coddled them. Afraid to even, I mean, the president, it took him till today to actually make a statement. He was in New York for a fundraiser for Hillary after the first incident. Didn't mention it. I mean, you would think that the president of the United States, when America is attacked, whether by a lone wolf or by someone who is working in concert with ISIS or having pledged allegiance to ISIS, would assure the American people that everything is being done to identify and eliminate terrorists and their threats. Well, that can't be true. I mean, he can't say that because they continue to fling the door wide open to unvetted individuals coming from countries known to be a place of harbor for terrorists. And as we've talked about, the Syrian refugees, the Somalis. Look, this election is extremely important. Hillary Clinton, I believe, will continue the same policies we've seen from Barack Obama. All right, we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break, so don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Don't go away.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really, the Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I want to remind you of the words Abraham Lincoln spoke at Gettysburg. He told his audience that our government is designed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's our responsibility to let our voices be heard when so much is at stake. So I implore you to become involved citizens who go to the polls and cast informed votes on Election Day.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Have you ever heard of interfaith dialogue? On the surface, it sounds harmless. However, Stephen Coughlin, a former top trainer of the U.S. military tasked with identifying the enemy within, has stated that interfaith dialogue is a tool used by radical Islamists to deceive unsuspecting Christians. As Muslim speakers are welcomed at Christian churches and colleges in the guise of interfaith dialogue, incremental accommodations are made to accept the Quran and Sharia law, putting Islam on the same level as Christianity. However, the teachings of Islam and Christianity cannot coexist. Any efforts to mingle the two undermines the gospel message. Make no mistake, the Muslims' Allah is not the God of the Bible. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events a sign of a coming rapture and tribulation foretold in the Bible? Based on his new book, people are asking, is this the end? Signs of God's providence in a disturbing new world. Dr. David Jeremiah explores 10 critical issues facing our world and helps us find hopeful answers for an uncertain future. It all starts October 3rd, right here on this good station.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website is tonyperkins.com. Let me remind you once again that Washington Watch is an outreach of the Family Research Council. It is made available because of folks like you across the country that stand with us as partners. If you'd like to be a part of supporting the work of the Family Research Council and Washington Watch, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. And here's the question I want to ask you. Do you think these terrorist attacks will impact the election in 49 days? I talked to Michelle about this. I mean, it seems like the frequency of these attacks, it's increasing. We're seeing more and more of these. These are not, you know, just one here. I mean, it's regular. I mean, just think of San Bernardino, Orlando. Now we have New York, we have Minnesota, and there's a bunch of others that don't necessarily get all of the attention. So, do you think these attacks, and who knows, within 49 days, we may have even more. How big of a factor do you think this will be when people go into the polls and vote 49 days from today? 866-372-7234 or your Twitter. Again, at T. Perkins. All right, let's go to Texas where Kelly is on the line. Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for having me on. I listen to your show every day when I drive home from work, so it's pretty nice.
Well, great. Thanks for listening.
I think the terrorist attacks should definitely have an impact on the general election that's coming up, especially when one of the candidates, Hillary Clinton, can use language to define Americans as irredeemable but can turn around and basically babysit these Islamic terrorists all day. I don't know what country she lives in, but I don't think she has the right to determine who is and who isn't redeemable. Pretty sure that belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. But to call Americans irredeemable and then turn around and coddle terrorists, that doesn't seem very healthy for the American people.
Very interesting comparison, Kelly, to juxtapose the two, because in her press conference today, she was again buying the same line as Obama. Well, we cannot say these things because we would lump a whole category of people into a negative. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. That, you know, we don't want to talk about this as Muslim terrorism because there's so many peaceful Muslims out there. In fact, Josh Ernst, the president's mouthpiece out today, talking about how, we can't give ISIS the narrative victory of suggesting that every Muslim is responsible for this kind of terrorism. Well, nobody's suggesting that. But we are suggesting that the president, through his failed foreign policy and his inept immigration policy, is basically setting the table for terrorists to come to dinner with a pipe bomb or a pressure cooker bomb. I mean, but as you said, Hillary wants to, again, defend them, not to put them into a category, but then anybody who believes America should protect its borders, believes in traditional values, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and believes that a man is still a man and a woman still a woman, that they're a bigot, they're all in one basket, all deplorables. Good point, Kelly. Thanks for listening. All right, let's go to Ohio where Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing? Much like your last caller, I listen to you every day on my way home from work. I think it will impact the voting, but for only people who are educated or informed. And the reason why I say that is because there's a whole lot of people that don't have a clue. I was at work today, and I told one of the guys, who's a very intelligent man, he's a doctor, and told him that there are some European countries that are actually surpassing the United States in a favorable place to live. He said, yeah, if you can get past the terrorism. And I said, what about the terrorism that's going on here? And he says, yeah, but it's isolated. It's only a couple times. And I'm like, no, you need to be more informed. Fortunately, he's a Trump supporter anyway, so that's not going to impact his vote. But, there's just a whole lot of people that don't have a clue.
I mean, was he aware of what took place this weekend?
I don't think so. And I didn't hear about it until I was on, where was I? I was on my way home, I think, when I got the call. That's when I first heard about it on your show. And, one quick thing to say about the Muslims, I know not every Muslim is a terrorist, but every Muslim that's not a terrorist needs to be against the terrorist, because if you're not with us, then you're against us.
Yeah, and you repeatedly hear, I mean, the polling shows that many of those who have come to this country, Muslims, do not want to be governed by the U.S. Constitution. They want to be governed by Sharia law. We see, as described, the ex-wife of the New York, New Jersey bomber said that he hated America, and this is a common theme. And, if you think about it, Charles, we have leaders that convey a message that they hate America, that America is no different than any other country on the face of the earth, in their view, as they go around and do apologies to country after country. And America is different. America is the only place where people from anywhere, if they play by the rules, can come here and live in a place that is free for the most part. We've lost a lot of those freedoms, and I would argue we're going to lose a lot more if we don't get serious about protecting our borders and our freedoms internally. But, I think in large part of this, these people have been given a green light to hate America because we have leaders that act like they hate America. Charles, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening every day on your way home. 866-372-7234. Phone lines lit up. We're going to try to get to as many calls as possible today. But I want to know, do you think this latest round of terrorist attacks I would hope we're not going to see any more, but given the frequency of these attacks, we're probably going to see more. Now, Hillary says that it's Donald Trump's rhetoric that is giving aid and comfort to the terrorists, to our adversaries. She won't even use the word terrorist. It's amazing to me. He says, they're not coming. How is that giving aid and comfort? He says, we're going to eliminate them. How's that giving aid and comfort? I hope Americans are paying attention. I believe this is one of the top three issues in this election, national security, and it is intertwined with immigration, without question. I think religious liberty is also one of the top issues in this election. But I want to know what you think. Is it going to have an impact? Let's go back to Texas, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my call. I think it absolutely has to have some kind of an impact. If it doesn't have an impact in this election, I don't know how many more elections we're going to have. I really believe that there's a lot of people whose hearts have been hardened, and they simply are just in absolute denial of what's in front of them. But I remember back a couple of decades ago, my wife was a flight attendant, and she speaks multiple languages. She did all the international flights. No one mentioned the airline, but she always flew over. Well, when the over from abroad, so when the Clintons took over the White House, there was a huge surge. And I remember at the time her saying that she can't ever remember a time during a certain period where all of a sudden we saw Somalians coming over, and there was every single flight that came over had two or three or four families coming in that were sponsored by our State Department. And prior to that, because you've been a flight attendant all the way back into the 80s, you couldn't ever remember but occasionally one or two families. But during the Clinton administration, there was a surge. And I would really like, I wish somebody could go back and do the research, but I really, going back to the, tying that in with the election, somebody should do the research on that and just let the public know, hey, this is what happened, and this is what's, this was the kindling, and now Obama simply stoked the furnace and lit the fire.
Mm. Well, John, actually, I have in my hands a report. Actually, it was an article by CNSNews.com, one of the sources that I often use, using the government's own numbers. Now, they go back to 9/11. Now, they go prior to that, they don't cover the numbers. So I just want to be clear on that. You may absolutely be correct. But I do want to point out from this article that, and this is not surprising, that we saw a lot of this during the Bush administration. And this was a problem in the Bush administration. This political correctness was there just as well. And it wasn't as pronounced to where it prohibited them from actually protecting America, although they still were, I mean, they were pretty bad about it. I mean, not protecting America, but the political correctness was pretty intense in the Bush administration, not wanting to offend the Muslim community. The biggest influx of Somali refugees over the past 15 years occurred during the FY 2004-2006 period. Right, that was right after George W. Bush's reelection. And then they dwindled down before picking back up again in 2014 and 16. This is according to the State Department Refugee Processing Center data. So it preceded Obama, but here's the thing that is the stark contrast, is that we now know that the threat is great. 99.6% of those that have come into the country, the Somalis, since 2011 are Muslim, most of them Sunni Muslim. And we have seen that the largest area of Somalis is in Minnesota. And we have found that they have become, Minnesota and that community up there has become a prime recruiting spot for ISIS. The let me see. Since 2007, according to the FBI, several dozen young men from Minneapolis-St. Paul have traveled to Somalia to fight with the Al-Qaeda affiliates. More recently, nine young men from the community were arrested on suspicion of plotting to join ISIS in Syria. Six pleaded guilty, while the other three were convicted last June of plotting to join the group and commit murder abroad. So there was even a, you know, I think it was last year, one of the guys, first Americans that died fighting for ISIS had been, I think, a baggage handler for Delta there at the airport. I'm recalling off the top of my head. But anyway, John, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. All right, let's stay in Texas and go to Antonio. Antonio, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, thank you. I definitely believe it will impact the election. And I also, you know, nobody wishes these things would happen in the future, but the way things are going, some people may feel that it's inevitable. As a believer, I find it hard not to think about what the Bible has to say about one world order mm-hmm. and the things that are coming. And setting the stage for that might have some of these things like the attacks and good being called evil and evil being called good. And so as a believer, I think a lot of these things, unfortunately, are going to have to happen. Nobody wishes they would, but with the world being upside down the way it is, I take that into consideration. Hopefully other believers can have, you know, some insight into that as well and just have the hope that yeah. we have in the Lord in spite of these attacks. But I really do think that part of the things that are happening in the world today are the stage being set because, yeah. You know, the enemy, of course, will have 7 years to create one world government, one world religion, and one world economic platform, and it has to begin somewhere. So I think about those kind of things yeah. when things like this happen.
And I think you should. As a believer, I think you should. I think that's called having a biblical worldview where we analyze the events around us based upon what the Bible has to say. So, Antonio, I do the same thing. In fact, this morning I tweeted out my devotional tweet for today was Revelation 12:12, and just ask a question, because it says that as Satan sees his time coming to a close, time getting short, he becomes even more vicious. And could that be? I just asked a question. I didn't make a declarative statement. I just said, could it be what we're seeing is just evidence of that? So, Antonio, I appreciate the call. I agree with you. And the thing about that as Christians, is that we can have hope. We know that, in fact, I preached on this yesterday from 1 Thessalonians, that it's like you get to the end times, it's like these birth pains. You got to go through it. But that doesn't mean that we don't, and I'm not suggesting you said this, Antonio, but I just want to make clear to our listeners, doesn't mean that you step aside or you just say, well, it's going to happen. We don't know the exact time. We need to be informed. We need to be engaged. We need to stand for what's right. And that means standing against those who would kill innocents. And as a country, we've long done that. And I believe it's time we return to doing that. And to do it, we have to have leadership, which we've not had in the last 8 years. All right, folks, out of time for today, unfortunately. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, adhere and listen to the Apostle Paul, when he says, when you've done everything, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.